So in this recording, we're going to talk about creating even if we don't like it. So, there's a lot of talk around that says, if you make yourself happy and always think of happy things, then you'll create only happy things. And in part, that's true. But as we have talked about in earlier recording, this world is created and based on a diversity. And it may change in time as people change their ideas, so will the whole concept of how the world works. It will also change, and how the experience here is will also change. Saying to just be happy, always only think of happy stuff, and keep yourself always only on happy stuff, is like saying you have a kitchen that's fully stocked, only think of the sugar and eat only the sugar. Now for some, that's perfectly fine. And that's okay. See, there is no good or bad in that sense, or right or wrong. It's what fits you. But in order to really fully understand what fits you, you got to understand how the system really works. And for a bee likes sweet. At least we think a bee does, because it goes after honey. But not all honey is really sweet, in a sense. And to a bee, there might be 10,000 different flavors of honey. So by looking at that kitchen and only going for the sweet stuff, we're saying only be happy. But what I want to do right now is separate that feeling from the creating part. And we've used it in a combination sometimes in creating, and I've done this on recordings and in my writing, and I said there's two sides to everything. There is a have and have not. Let's say money, abundance or lack. So there's two sides of it. You have it or you don't have it. You have enough or you don't have enough. So you have two sides. And if you're looking at not having enough, you will create inadvertently not having enough. And sometimes to change how we think and what we look at, we have to connect it to our feelings, and we say, how do we know if I'm looking at the lack of money or the abundance of money? Well, you know by how much money you have. If you have enough, more than enough every month, and enough to get what you want and the things that you want to experience, then you are looking at the abundance of it. If you don't, then you are looking at the lack of it. And how do we change it? Well, we change how we look at it. And how do we know? By our feelings. Because if we look at the lack of it, we tend to be a little bit unhappy. If we look at the abundance of it, and we allow ourselves to experience the abundance of it as if we have an abundance of it, we begin to feel happy. So we kind of put the two together for a purpose, but they actually are not together. They're two separate things, and I'm going to call them things. We generally only call things like money, cars, glasses, clothes, we call those things. But feelings and experiences, we don't call them things, but they're also things, and I'll explain why they're things in a minute. So let's separate that for a minute. So can you be unhappy and have lots of money? Can you be depressed and have lots of money? Of course you can. You see, the two aren't really associated. So, you can have anything you want without necessarily being that happy. Or whatever level of happiness you choose to experience in your life. See, that's what life is about. These are all ingredients, and the different amounts of ingredients of happiness, sadness, fear, anxiety, love, trust, all those things become ingredients in a soup that we cook and eat constantly, minute after minute, and experience, and constantly change by adding more ingredients, adding more love. The soup changes a bit. Add a little fear, it gets a little spicy. A little more love, it changes it again. So each time, each moment, as we think, we add to the ingredient of our life. So these are all things. Now, in order to create something, we don't need necessarily to be happy, and guess what? You don't even need to like it. Well, now we know this. Sometimes when we talk about creating, we say, well, you haven't got money because you really don't like money. Well, you know what? Liking and having, two separate things, we put them together sometimes. Now, if you fear money, then that's a bit of a problem, because if you fear it and you don't go through the experience of fear, then it begins to block you, and you're resisting, we're resisting, I'm resisting, and so it doesn't come to us. But liking it has nothing to do with it. You might stump your toe, which you created that experience through all your thinking, you attracted the possibility of that, you experienced it, but you didn't really like it that much, or did you? Let's just say you didn't like it, but it became part of the experience. It's like you're saying, well, I cooked a little soup and I put a bang in it just for that little extra. And then, you know, your guests are eating the soup and they all stub their toes and they go, interesting taste. Anyway, you get the picture I'm drawing here. The soup you can't give to anyone else because only we eat it. We can try to talk about it and explain it to someone else, but it's really ours. No one can really experience fully our soup in a sense because we mix it with our emotions and feelings of these things. So we don't need to really like or love something to create it. We can use those things, liking something, and use that to create something as a tool, yes, but we don't need to like it. Now, liking and not liking. Again, this world is based on diversity of experiences. And driving a car very fast is fun for a multitude of reasons. One of them being danger. One of them, it engages a certain amount of fear and adrenaline in our body. Two, there's a bit of unknown. See, so we have created car crashes for the experience of the driving of the car. See, the whole car experience is incendiated by the possibility of various other things that we may or may not want happening. Without it, it becomes a much narrower experience, which is fine too. You can have a car experience and never have a crash your entire life of any kind or accident of any kind. And that's fine. That's your experience. But not necessarily 10 billion other people's experience. Everybody wants a certain diversity. Now, the universe is extremely complex. And if you were the one that decided that I never want any of this complexity in my driving, let it be just smooth and as boring as whatever, with no highlights other than just happiness, then the universe will arrange it so that your bumper will never hit another car's bumper. But if you are more open to diversity, then at some point your bumper might scrape something else, depending on how open and how much of diversity you may want. And we say, well, nobody wants that diversity, but let's stop with this. Let's start being honest. The world is the way it is because we created it that way. No God did this. No God stands back and says, well, if you don't smarten up, I'm going to come and fix it. No. I'm afraid not. You're going to have to accept it sooner or later or walk around with blinders. But there's no God that's going to come and save us because we don't need saving. We created this because this is the way we wanted it. Now we may want some changes and we have all the abilities to make those changes. And if you read my books, then you know you have the abilities. You're shown where the abilities are. So if you still continue on to experience negative stuff, Whose fault is that? The universe's? God's? No, it's yours. It's yours. Stop looking at that stuff, and the universe will stop bringing it to you. Because if you do not look at it, the universe will not stock your kitchen with it. It stocks your kitchen with everything you look at, and everything you have an emotional intensity to. That's what the universe will stock in your kitchen. And sooner or later, that stuff will end up in your soup. Or my soup. Whatever I look at, let's turn it around. Let's turn it back towards me. Rather than me saying you, because that's not really right. Yeah, let's turn it back to me. The universe stocks my kitchen with all kinds of stuff. And some of it's crap. But I look at that crap. Sometimes I find that crap interesting. See, I can set it up so when I tile, my jobs all work out perfectly. And I've gone for years, a string of year or 2 years, where everything goes smoothly. I come out the king. Everyone walks around and says, "You're the best. You are amazing." And after a while, I get so tired of being amazing that being a little bit of a shithead might not be so bad. Well, let's taste a little bit of that. Now, where did I put that? See, I didn't put it in my kitchen, but the universe will. And the universe says, "Oh, you want a little bit of that? Well, here it is. Right here. A whole cupboard full. Take any amount you like." And so I can put a little spice in my tiling. Have things go a little wrong. And then I go, "Well, why did I do that?" "Oh, yeah, because I got bored again. I got bored of my goody good shoe life." I say, "I hate goody good shoe people. And I hate goody good shoe life. That sucks. If I want that, I'll stay home. I'll stay where I came from. Because where we came from, nothing ever goes wrong. Everything is perfect. Absolutely perfect to perfection. Unimaginable to a human mind. That's why we're here. Hello." It got a little bit too much. So we said, maybe we need a little bit, some hot sauce. And here we are, right in the middle, stirring all that hot sauce. Yeah, good stuff now, isn't it? Then we cry foul. "Oh God, come and take us from this. Don't make us stay here. Why have you abandoned us?" What a joke that is. Funny, isn't it? Now, why do I call everything things? Our feelings, emotions, everything. Let's just play a little game, and I'm going to use a number, and the number is not correct. But I'm going to use it because it works fine. So, take it with a grain of salt. Well, take everything I say with a grain of salt, but what the hell do I know? So, here we go. From the actual our existence, what we are in totality, there's approximately 12 stages before you can experience human life. You go down one stage, erase a memory of what you are. You go down another stage, erase a memory of what you are. Go down another stage, erase a memory of what you are, make yourself smaller, tinier, little speck of a being. Another stage, you become a smaller speck of a being. Another stage, you become even smaller speck of a being until you finally land here. Little old human mind. 1/10 conscious, barely remember a name, takes you 3 years to learn how to tie your shoelaces. That's what we wanted. We are, in a sense, the gods we are praying to. We are them, experiencing life here on earth. To such a degree that we've said, "Listen, I want to go right down to the point where I can't even tie my shoelaces." And the guy said, "What the heck are shoelaces?" "I don't know, but I heard about it." All right. So now we have all these things. Love. Which exists. But in totality, it is something else. Still, from the totality of what we are, there's an energy source that streams in. And we now call it love. Because we have no other word for it. Let's use love. We've been doing that for a few years now. So that's our power source while we're here. And with that power source, we can do and create anything we want in this three-dimensional world. But we cannot take all these things with us, including happiness, including sad, including anxiety, including fear. These things do not go beyond the three-dimensional world. They actually only go one more stage past this. When you die here, you go to a stage, and let's call this stage 11. Stage 0 is where we come from. So we went to stage 1 and then stage 2 and keep dropping down till we're this mindless little two-legged being running around cooking chicken wings for dinner. So, here we are. We've died. We go to stage 11, and stage 11 is vast. Many possibilities exist in this stage of going to different worlds, different physical experiences, and other dimensional experiences. But, and at that point, you still have a certain amount of feelings, in a sense of happiness, sadness, and experiences that you have here. When you move one more step further, that's gone. It no longer exists. What you take with you is an experience, but it's more down to, the only thing I can describe it as, a tuning. It's like a vibrational sound, but a vibration that can only really be created in this three-dimensional area and then brought back. You sort of really can't create it where we are in total existence. You sort of have to go into this three-dimensional kitchen, cook it there, and then bring it back with you. That's a really poor explanation, but it's almost like a kindergarten explanation, but it's really the only way, because when you leave your body and you say, this is not good enough, I want to go to another stage up, the rung ladder back to what I really am, a guide will come, or many guides, and they will help you. But to go back and forth like that is extremely difficult, and you can't really take the information back. You can't take that information from what you are even there back to this, and vice versa. But there is something that transcends. But in a sense, it's not verbally explainable. And when you get back, the understanding of it fades much like a dream once you get back in your physical life. So it's really hard to hang on to, and because it's been so long, I can't explain it at all anymore. Probably, if you'd caught me years back when I was doing those experiments, I would probably be able to explain it a little bit better, because it'd be more fresher in my mind, but I still don't think I would have the words, the language, because we don't have that language to explain it. So the point is, these things, in a sense, are separate from us. They are part of the soup of creation. So when you're sad, just let it be sad. If you're bored, let it be bored until you want to change it. So I get bored, and I don't really mind getting bored. I get sad, I don't really mind getting sad. I get frustrated, I don't really mind getting frustrated. Because I don't like being totally happy all the time. I tried it, and it's nice. Hey, don't get me wrong, it is nice, and for a time, I do it, I play with it, and I bring my happiness up to a new level. And then I kind of go, it's not quite spicy enough when you're quite like that. I miss some of the old, a little bit of irritation here and there. I miss some of that spice. I mean, this is nice, but, if you get all fine foods done by the most famous chefs in the world, once in a while, you just want to go get a burger or a hot dog, right? That's part of life. And that's why sometimes we have difficulty moving on. Even though we get a little tired of what we have, we sort of know that as we move on, we have to let go of it. And sometimes we don't really want to let go of it. We've just become... it's become unenjoyable because it's become too much. When something becomes too much of it, it becomes unenjoyable. So when we have too much sadness, too much lack of abundance, it becomes unenjoyable. Lack of abundance is not an unenjoyable thing. It can be a fun thing, as long as you can swing back to an abundance thing also. But if you look at them as just experiences, as separate things that you can bounce around and change the ingredients just by looking at the things. If you look just at money, at the having of money, you see money, it's a having of money. The universe will begin to stock your kitchen shelves with money. And it may take a while to transcend into your physical life, but pretty soon you're opening cupboards and you're cooking, taking the ingredients, you're cooking your day-to-day soup, and pretty soon your day-to-day soup has more money in it. And there may come a time when you go, I got all this money, but I remember that a time when I didn't have so much. There was something special about that. There was. You know, there was a time Roberta and I had not very much. God, we didn't have for a time, we didn't have much at all. And although it was a hard time, and at that time I didn't think of it as really necessarily the best times in a sense, but now I look at it and I go, they were good times. It was a good experience. And a nice experience. Something you can actually look back and say, it's alright, that was nice. I wouldn't mind experiencing it again, as long as I know I have the ability to move past it again when I grow tired of it. And say, I grow tired now of the not having enough, and I'd like to have more again. When we begin to look at it that way, it's not really a challenge so much anymore. It's just something we do, something we choose day to day. Sometimes people like to have things the same on a day-to-day basis. Some people stay at the same job 25 years. Some stay there because of fear. And they don't even know it, and they will never admit it. Or they might if they really look at themselves. Others stay, but fewer, just because that's what they want. And that's okay. This is the diversity of life. And that's what it is. And that's all it is. And there's no judgment day, I'm sorry. I usually don't like to say these things because I don't like to mess in other people's religion. And I don't think I'm really messing in a religion, but there's no judgment day, my friend. I've been to the other side. I spent a lot of years traveling out of my body to see. And there won't be. Oh, there is some of these dark sides. Oh, there is that, no doubt. But it's not quite the way Hollywood puts it out. No, it's just sometimes we like to be dark. Bad, evil, whatever. I mean, that's the diversity of it. A world where you can be a bank robber. You can be a bank robber. This is an experience where you can be that with all ingredients that go with it. Now, what fun would it be being a bank robber if there was no risk, no fear? Well, it wouldn't really be much. I'll tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like going to the bank and withdrawing some money out of your account. That's what it'd be like. So you need all these ingredients to make the full ingredient of what we have. Everything in life is like that. Lack of oil, as some might think there exists, a lack of oil. Others, no, there is no lack of oil. There hasn't been. Even if it increased the amount you use, we still have several hundred years worth. But our technology is changing anyway. See, in our minds, we create things by looking at things, the lack or the abundance of. And so the universe stocks our shelves with it. And that's it. And it brings the people together who have the same items in their kitchen. You see? Do you get it? You can't really interact with someone if they don't have the same ingredients in the kitchen as you do. You might interact in a sense of passing by. A person may work for you in a sense. But that's about as close as it gets. you're not really interacting with them. You may see them, you may direct them, you may say, could you type this up, clean this up, do this, whatever, or you may tell someone, and that someone tells them. But you really interact with people that stock the same thing in their shelves. So if you're surrounded by people that constantly talk about bad things that happen, it's because you got all that stuff in your kitchen shelf. And if you stop looking and listening, the universe will take that stuff out of the shelves and put in your shelves what you are looking at now. And it has nothing to do with liking it or not liking it. Feeling good, not feeling good, has nothing to do with that. The universe has to stock those shelves to the brim. Always. Absolutely always. It will give you what you like or dislike. Doesn't matter to it. It will just stock those shelves with whatever we look at. So, if I walk around with a check in my pocket with $1 million, and that's what I think about. And sometimes because I have that check in my pocket, I might worry about losing it. I engage a fear, but I continue to carry it. Sometimes I put that check in my hand for more than a half a day. I have to hold it in my hand. In my hand. It's an interesting thing, an interesting experience, because you can't really put it down. You can switch it to the other hand. Put it down, you might forget it. And that might not be so good because it's a real check. So you have to think about it a lot. You have to think about the having of it. And you have to be honest about what fears you might have and move past them. Sometimes you can create, in a sense, get stuff into the shelf of your kitchen, enticing the universe to put it in more quickly by carrying it in your hand. You want a new car? Get a little mini car. Carry it in your hand. Yeah. Half a day each day, quarter of a day each day, 4 hours. Have it in your hand. It's a bit of a nuisance because you have to get on a bus, you're going to use that hand, you have to switch it over to the other hand. You reach in your pocket, you have to switch it over. It's in your hand. It's there all the time. You're thinking about it all the time. Do you get it? Thinking about it all the time. God, the universe goes, he's always thinking about that car, that car. How many? Do I have one of those in the shelves? I'll stick one in the shelf. Once you got it in the shelf, it doesn't take long before it shows up in your life. Think about it. Put it in your hand. Put the new stuff you want to think about in your hand. You have to think about it. No, you can't tie it around your wrist. Nice thought, though. No, because it just hangs there after a while. You have to put it in your hand. Carry it around with you. How do you carry a house? Well, I don't know. Get a little tiny plastic house or something. Carry it around. Ranch? Well, maybe you need a house and a couple of horses. Maybe a miniature barn and two little miniature horses in your hand. Carry them around. Every day. For a few hours. Especially for a few hours when it's kind of not convenient. The most inconvenient times will be the best. Not the times when you're sitting at home watching TV because you'll just forget it's in your hand. When you're shopping, good time to have it in your hand. Because you always have to move it around. You always have to have it in your hand, check it, move your hand, put something else in your hand, put it in your car, take your wallet out while it's in your hand. You have to put it down maybe for a second. People ask you why you got two horses and a little mini barn in your hand. And you go, well, you know. No, I don't know. Why do you? Well, you know. Anyway, have a good day. We'll talk to you some other time.